Wagner Field at Kendrick Family Ballpark might be the cleanest ballpark in America right now, because each of the last two times West Virginia has played here, the Mountaineers have gotten out the brooms and pulled off a series sweep. They did it once again, folks. Ryan Decker, Kevin Redfern here with you, here up above the field at Kendrick Family Ballpark, as West Virginia has just pulled off a three-game sweep of the visiting Baylor Bears. Kevin, the Bears, for a good portion of this season, were one of the surprise teams in the Big 12 Conference, but I think it's safe to say West Virginia has cooled off the Bears, and the Mountaineers remain, despite last weekend's sweep, one of the best teams in the Big 12 Conference.
Yeah, just minutes into this series, it looked like it might have been in a position to go south, I should say. New pitching rotation, couple quick runs for Baylor early on Friday, but just as quickly, WVU kind of established their offensive presence, which stayed pretty consistent throughout the weekend. But back to that sweep comment real quick. What would it say about humanity if all those fans with the brooms at Kendrick Family Ballpark, you know, stayed, helped out the custodial staff, cleaned up the bleachers? There's a lot of brooms out here on Sundays nowadays.
You know, a couple Sundays ago when West Virginia swept UCF, I actually saw some hand brooms and like some hand bristles that were down in the stands. There's the one section of people who are in the suites every Sunday that they bring their brooms every Sunday there is a sweep. Those were the only people I saw, at least today, only spectators with fans. But that is a good point. Maybe some people should help just stick around a little bit and see what can happen if they use those brooms as they were intended. But West Virginia, this baseball team, certainly bring those out. This is now 4 weekends in a row that the West Virginia baseball team has either pulled off a sweep or been swept. And there was only one of the sad portion of that back and forth there. So West Virginia playing really good baseball right now. As you mentioned, didn't get off to the most picture perfect start there on Friday night. That was a rough first inning to watch by West Virginia, but then things certainly improved after that. And this series as a whole, Kevin, just pretty much dominant from start to finish by West Virginia. A combined 36 runs in this series, 18 in the series opener Friday night, 13 more in the series clincher on Sunday, and then 5 in the middle game on Saturday. So a great offensive set by the Mountaineers, and got some good pitching once again by Derek Clark. Aiden Major looked better than he has in recent weeks, and the bullpen has been by and large pretty good this weekend.
Right now, if you were to tell fans, writers, anyone a couple months ago who's watching this team that the bullpen had kind of found its groove, they'd say, oh, well, I bet the team's playing pretty strong. And that's exactly what's going on right now. And the three victories all came in kind of a similar manner to how West Virginia's been sweeping series. They've got the big win when the bats are alive. They've got the closer game when the pitchers are more in the spotlight. And then on Sunday, it was kind of a game that was a lot closer than the final score, but they were able to correct their wrongs, really execute with runners in scoring position, which is something where they lacked earlier in that game and on Saturday, and they put up some crooked numbers late in the game on Sunday to run away with it. So a little bit of everything. I feel like we've said that when West Virginia is playing their best baseball, but pretty well-rounded effort.
So let's go game by game here. And I don't know if we need to stick on any of these games for too long, because at least two of the three were decided by about the middle of the game. But starting with Friday here, West Virginia goes down 2-0 in the first inning, but then scores 10 straight runs over the next two innings, 12 over the next three, 13 over the next four, to at that point take a 13-4 lead through four innings. And then they put up an extra 5 runs there in the seventh. Hayden Cooper becomes the first Mountaineer pitcher this season to start a game on the bump on a Friday not named Aiden Major. There was a shakeup in the pitching rotation this week. It at least for one weekend sample size, it did work. Aiden was better on Sunday, and there was better pitching combined between Hayden Cooper and Tyler Swetolski Friday night.
Right, we've seen Hayden Cooper, Tyler Swetolski eat 3-4 innings, whether it be in a start or in long relief. So that combination makes a lot of sense. Swetolski ended up going longer than Cooper, 4 1/3, just 1 earned run, 6 strikeouts, 1 walk. And I feel like pretty much every time Tyler Swetolski's thrown in the month of April, we brought up the question, man, was that his best performance all year, and I think Friday's relief appearance was. Funny note about that one is Swatulski, who's made most of his appearances in a starting role this season, comes out of the bullpen. Randy Mazey makes it sound like he didn't tell him he was going to pitch at all on Friday. Kind of kept him in the dark, seeing if that kind of threw a mix up in his mental preparation. So maybe we could see something like that, kind of Swatulski coming in a jam places where we haven't seen him pitch this year. And then Robbie Porco, clean inning. Joseph Fredericks making a couple more appearances this last month than he did in the first month of the season. So I personally, if you're going to take Aiden Major out of the Friday role because it had been a little bumpy, this was a good way to do it. But easy to say that in hindsight.
So that was the pitching aspect of the series opener on Friday. When you look at what West Virginia was able to do at the plate, J.J. Weatherholt got off to a good start in this series, a 2-for-3 performance with two runs scored, 4 RBI, and a home run, as well as a walk there in the series opener. Then you had multiple other guys like Logan Sauve and Reed Chumley and Kyle West all have multi-hit performances as well. Reed Chumley in the series opener Friday night, 5 RBI for him there in the middle portion of the lineup. So the lineup does well Friday night, 18 runs on just 12 hits, and that was sort of a theme in this series. West Virginia not necessarily needing hits to score runs. Scoring runs different ways with what West Virginia did. Now, the nice thing about Friday, WVU only strands 3 runners on base the entire game. You score 18, you expect to leave a couple more guys on. That's just how baseball tends to work. But only 3 left on Friday night. But you flash forward to Saturday and Sunday, it's a combined 22 runners left on base by the Mountaineers in those two games. But it ends up not mattering. And West Virginia, even on Saturday, was 0-for with runners in scoring position, but still able to manufacture runs. That, to me, is a mark of a good team, that even if you're not getting a hit per se, you can produce runs with the bat or by leaning into a pitch or two, maybe.
Yeah, when games go like they did on Saturday, it takes a lot more strategy. And I think a lot of people have realized that Randy Mazey really, really excels in those games. And he gets a lot of buy-in from those players and what they're supposed to look like. You know, stretching a single into a double if it's in a weird place in the outfield, stealing a bag when it's maybe unexpected, or if it's maybe someone like Grant Hussey on first base. But yeah, I mean, small ball played a big role. Most of the outs, I think, in this one for West Virginia, most of the runs, I should say, came on balls batted in play that turned into outs. Mm-hmm. So not the most, you know, highlight reel worthy game, but, you know, a bunch of people doing their jobs.
Yeah, so on Saturday, Kyle West homers to get the scoring started in the game. That was the only run-producing at-bat where the ball leaves the infield for West Virginia on the day, because later in the game, it's a wild pitch that scores a run. Then it's Grant Hussey on a RBI ground out. And then it's Brody Kresser twice grounding out to produce a run. So 4 runs there late in the game and the ball doesn't leave the infield. That's not necessarily Mazey ball, but it's close to it without, you know, some of the speed and the bunting elements there necessarily. But of course, the storyline on a Saturday, as has been the case for much of the last 6 weeks or so, is the performance of Derek Clark. He was really, really good once again. 67% of his 127 pitches go for strikes, and it would have been a higher mark, I think, if he did get squeezed a couple times standing behind home plate. He definitely got squeezed a little bit there at times, but 8 strong innings, moves to 5-1 on the year, only 2 runs allowed, 5 hits given up, 8 more strikeouts for him. Derek Clark just continues to be able to go long into games, saving the WVU bullpen, and just kind of Justin Verlander-like, just gets stronger as the game goes on.
Yeah, you beat me to it. It's another week where we're talking about Derek Clark getting better as the game goes on. Kind of bit him in the butt a little bit later on because his early innings did take up a ton of pitches just mm-hmm. with the base runners. And kind of he did end up getting out of those jams, but that drove the pitch count up. Finished at 127, which to a lot of people is like you need an extra day off after that for Derek Clark. It's another walk in the park. Mm-hmm. He's up around 120-130 pitches every week. 8 strikeouts, 3 walks, just 2 earned runs. I mean, throwing strikes. There was not great pace to this game early on, but in the middle innings, man, things started rolling and just turned out to be a crisp baseball game Saturday.
West Virginia left 10 runners on base in the entirety of the game on Saturday. Through the first 4 innings of that game, both teams had strained at 7 runs apiece. For the rest of the day that Derek Clark was on the mound, the 5th through the 8th innings, he pitched just 1 batter over the minimum. That was really impressive to watch him, as we've mentioned, just get stronger as the game goes on. And thank goodness for West Virginia, all those runners left on base did not hurt them. But just going back to Derek Clark, I mean, he's been really fun to watch pitch this season, just how he goes about each at bat and how he goes through his sequence of pitches. But it cannot be overstated, his ability to go deep into games, how that helps West Virginia's bullpen. Because if you look at Sunday a little bit, if Aiden Major wasn't able to go as long as he did, the bullpen was ready to go. It was stocked for the day.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think we've mentioned, Derek Clark's probably coming off his roughest start of the season last week. So now we've seen how he rebounds from that going forward in this back half of the back third of the season. And it's very, very, I mean, something is telling. It's telling about him. We've kind of wondered what's going to happen when he hits those roadblocks. He ended up doing it, bounced back very strong. And both he and Randy Mazey said nothing changed during the week. So you can expect Derek Clark to come out shoving again next week.
You talk about nothing changing during the course of the week. We asked Benjamin Lumsden on Sunday what this team did from an offensive standpoint to prepare for this weekend. And I just kind of asked him, you know, is it a reset up and down the lineup? And he said, no, if you're Kyle West and you're swinging the hottest bat on the team right now, you don't want to reset at all. Kyle West, he has multi-hit performances both Friday and Saturday. The middle portion of the order was extremely good for West Virginia the first 2 days of this series. But on Sunday, it's the bottom part of the order that just does yeoman's work for the Mountaineers. 10 of the 12 hits, 9 of the 11 RBI coming over the final, 5 guys in the lineup? West, Hussey, Kresser, Lumsden, and Skyler King. That portion, that bottom half of the lineup, really producing in a game where if it does become close, you'd love to see the bottom half of the order produce the way they did.
And it all starts that kind of run with Kyle West in the 6th hole. And it's so interesting. Yesterday we were talking in the press box about Kyle West. I mean, he's got double-digit home runs. Feels like a lot of them are in solo fashion. And here he is in the batting 6th for West Virginia, correct? Batting 6th. And whether it's 5th it is. Okay, so yeah, it kind of starts with him. And he's been in this typical RBI spot. But on a game like Sunday, he's more of the leadoff man, which kind of showed. But yeah, he had a pair of hits. Grant Hussey had 3 hits, and he's creeping up there on the West Virginia all-time home runs list. Put him in sole possession of 3rd place today with his, 34th career home run, one away from tying that record. Ben Lumsden, Skyler King, they have multi-hit performances, and these guys aren't everyday starters, so their ability to kind of enter the lineup in a pinch and have success has been a storyline pretty much all year. So that's been pretty consistent too. But when you've got that sort of production at the bottom of your lineup, when you know and you've seen the past 2 days that the top of your lineup is where it needs to be, it's how you need to be playing when it comes tournament season.
One more note here on Kyle West. He has a multi-hit performance in 5 of the last 6 games he's played in. Also has hit 3 of his team best 11 home runs over the last 6 games as well. So he's swinging a really hot stick right now. This is an extended streak. Pretty much the entire month of April, Kyle West has been hitting the ball really, really well. But you mentioned Grant Hussey there, and that is certainly worth noting. Hussey, he homers in this game on Sunday in the 2nd inning to get West Virginia tied back in the ballgame 2-2 early on, and that was his 34th home run of his WVU career, now just 1 shy of the all-time lead here for this program's history. Great to see him kind of get off, I think it was home run number 9 of the season, number 33 of his career, because he had gone through a little bit of a spell in between home runs, and I'm sure internally that chase is maybe weighing on him just a touch.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's funny you bring that up. We probably should have asked Coach Mazey about that, if that's something that they're monitoring in the clubhouse. But, yeah, it's got to feel like weight off your shoulders. So Kyle West in the 5-hole, Grant Hussey in the 6-hole, 2 guys with the most power on the team probably. You can maybe group Reed Chumley into that discussion. Mm-hmm. Kyle West, you see his power when the ball sails 40 feet over the fence. Grant Hussey, you see his natural power when he throws up a ball in the air that looks like it's probably a routine fly out, and then it hits off the left center field scoreboard. I mean, this guy, it makes total sense that he's up there in the all-time home run list. The raw power that he has is super impressive. So if he starts finding barrels, it could be the right time to get really hot.
Definitely West Virginia needs him to get hot if it's going to have postseason success and be that extra thumper in the middle to bottom third of the lineup for sure. Switching from the power at the plate to what West Virginia was able to do on the mound on Sunday, Aiden Major, the stats weren't glamorous, you know, 5 2/3, 4 hits, 4 runs allowed, 5 strikeouts and a walk, but definitely I think a bounce back performance for him, that sort of a get right type of performance for him. Good to see him just get back into the win column. He's now 4-3 on the year. He gets a winning decision for the first time in a couple weekends. It's got to be great for him mentally and then also physically.
Yeah, and almost Derek Clark S too. Just, I mean, facing some adversity early in the second, he gives Baylor an early 2-0 lead. And where we've seen Aiden Major kind of unravel on the mound when he hits those road bumps, that didn't happen today. And that might be the first time all year where we've noted that, you know, he really kept his cool and got better as the game went on. And if you can get five innings out of your Sunday starter, we know Aiden Major isn't your typical Sunday starter, but you're going to win so many rubber matches that way. It's just an incredible luxury. So I'm sure he's happy about what happened today.
With the win on Sunday, West Virginia has now won 10 consecutive ball games against the Baylor Bears. This is now 3 straight sweeps of the Bears, something that West Virginia has not done to an opponent since joining the Big 12 Conference. It's an impressive streak they have going on right now with 4 consecutive weekend sweeps. Either direction, it's 3 of the last 4 in West Virginia's favor right now. So West Virginia playing really good baseball. Kevin, before we get some sound from the Mountaineers from Sunday, one final thought from this series of West Virginia did what it had to do, I think, this weekend. And we'll talk about more of this after we hear some sound from the Mountaineers, but did what they had to do this weekend of staying in lockstep with Oklahoma State for second place in the Big 12 standings. That's big, as now the calendar here in just a couple of days is going to flip to the month of May.
Yeah, we talked last week about how crucial it is to be gunning for those top 2 spots in the standings. Oklahoma continues to be amazing, so it's right now a race. West Virginia and Oklahoma State, that's that kind of that key, that's something to watch over the next couple of weeks while you're scoreboard watching. But yeah, taking care of business. And how about the side of a close walk-off loss at Marshall, Mazie's Crazies being able to recognize, hey, like, this is a trap game, trap weekend. We kind of need to put as much emphasis on this as we would a high-profile top-of-the-conference matchup. And he's talked about that, and it seems to show.
West Virginia 1-0 and 11 a.m. start times this season. Let's not make a habit of it, but I guess if they keep winning, it's fine with us. Make sure to stay with us here. It's the Golden Blue Nation podcast recapping the series sweep of Baylor. Stay with us.
Despite the ill-fated efforts of President Biden and his wealthy New York friends, West Virginia coal is thriving and being shipped to 45 countries worldwide. Given its high quality and clean burning properties, countries across the globe are demanding and consuming it, and in-state production continues to grow. With billions of dollars of recent investment in West Virginia mining operations, combined with the reliability of our coal-fired electric manufacturing facilities, West Virginia coal is here to stay. No other fuel in the world matches West Virginia coal for base load generation and steel making. Like a good friend, it's always been and always will be there, keeping the lights on and contributing greatly to our growing economy. In fact, coal continues to sustain 50,000 plus West Virginia jobs, putting food on the table for Mountain State families. Visit friendsofcoal.org to learn more. A message from the Friends of Coal.
What's it say about the depth of your team that out of the last 4 weekends, you've swept 3 series, being able to kind of do it throughout a whole weekend and not just win Friday or Saturday?
It's so hard to do, man. It's so hard to do because, as we talk about, you know, when you beat a team and then you sleep on it overnight, the losing team, you know, it's a tie score when the game starts the next day. So, you know, you gotta jump on people early as much as you can. So it's so hard to sweep anyone, but to sweep people in the Big 12 is extremely difficult. So, yeah, I think that puts us at, 14-7 we're in a good spot. You know, I'll take where we're at, but we got a lot of work to do yet.
We asked you coming into the season, would teams intentionally walk JJ if they got the chance? Baylor did that, I think, at least three times in this series. Any frustration there you sense from him, or how does he react to stuff like that?
He doesn't mind. He couldn't believe they did it in the last at bat after the game he had. You know, he wasn't I don't think he barreled the ball the whole game, and then they walk him in the eighth to pitch to Logan. So JJ's going to have to deal with that, and he knows that. That's never offended him. He just wants us to win.
A lot of times a team has an identity, a way it wins a lot of games. You know, there'll be an outlier, but a way it does it, this team seems to be able to do it multiple ways. Yesterday, I think 0 for 13 with runners in scoring position, but manufactured runs, created Friday and today, smashing the ball around a lot. Is that as varied an attack as you had?
I don't know. I'd have to go back and look at it. The thing about this team is when you're with these guys every day, sometimes it's hard to look at our team objectively and see what kind of team we have. There hasn't been a coach that we've played a series against that hasn't come up to me and said something of the effect, you guys got a good team. That's one of the best teams we've played this year. So when other people say that about you, sometimes you don't see that from the inside, what people see from the outside. But enough people have told me that now, I'm starting to believe it.
All right, that was some post-game sound from the Mountaineers on Sunday following their 13-4 win over Baylor, sweeping the series against the Bears. West Virginia has now swept each of the last two home series here at Kendrick Family Ballpark. A nice three-game winning streak for the Mountaineers, who are now 26-16 on the season, back to 10 games over 500 are the Mountaineers. Now, as we sit here at just after 3:30 Eastern time on this Sunday afternoon, not going to be able to do a full Big 12 standings recap for you because the biggest series, arguably, of the weekend in the Big 12, Oklahoma and Texas, still very much going on. Some rain impacted that series on Sunday, so they are playing two on the Sunday. So not going to be able to give you a full breakdown of the Big 12 standings this weekend. But West Virginia, here's the important information here. The Mountaineers 14-7 in Big 12 play, still tied with Oklahoma State for second place in the Big 12 standings. However, the Cowboys do own that tiebreaker over the Mountaineers as we get ready to look forward to May. And Kevin, I guess really the month of May not going to start officially, but unofficially, the month of May gets underway at PNC Park on Tuesday, April 30th, if you're keeping track at home. A big opportunity. Randy Mazey talks about this every year that they've played at PNC Park against Pitt or Penn State, that opportunity, what it means to the players and to the program to be able to play in a big league ballpark. We asked him about that after the game as well today, and you can just tell that opportunity, it does mean a lot to not only Randy Mazey, but the players. Just to be able to say, you know, I stepped on the same dirt as insert favorite major leaguer here who has played at PNC Park, and with interleague play these days, just about everyone has. So it's a great opportunity, and we're looking forward to that, the backyard brawl on Tuesday.
And you saying that sparked something in my mind, and practically it's kind of useful too. You get this game, kind of the emotions of it out of the way before you head down to Globe Life Park for the Big 12 tournament.
Exactly.
So that's definitely useful. A crazy cool experience for everyone. And how about the two environments for the backyard brawls this year? You set an attendance record at Kendrick Family Ballpark on a Tuesday over here a couple weeks ago, and then you get to go play at the home of the Pittsburgh Pirates. I mean, when you talk about recruiting local kids and potentially being in recruiting battles with other schools in the conference, backyard brawl's got to be a selling point. Those are just two things that I thought of after you saying that. But yeah, I mean, a lot of new kids on this team that get to experience that, and I'd imagine they'll be losing a little bit of sleep over it Monday night and excitement.
Yeah, and the correlation between playing at PNC Park and then playing at Globe Life, that was certainly a topic of conversation, I guess, now 2 years ago when the Big 12 Conference tournament first switched to Globe Life from Chickasaw Bricktown Ballpark. That was a big topic of conversation of how does that prepare the Mountaineers for that environment.
And when you're playing in these big league ballparks in college, I mean, it's nothing against these fan bases, but they don't fill the stadium like MLB games do.
Right.
And a big stadium with upper deck seating that, like, with the echoes, with the backdrop and fly balls and stuff, like, that is an actual different playing experience than the typical college parks.
And on that note, I was just looking this up. So you mentioned that West Virginia sets the Kendrick Family Ballpark attendance record a couple weeks ago against Pitt here, well over 4,000 people in attendance for that game. The largest attendance I'm seeing for a WVU baseball game at PNC Park, by the way, WVU 5-0 at PNC Park all time, knock on wood, is the first one, 2,474 spectators watching West Virginia back in 2017 beat Penn State. That was the game before the walk-off, whenever Penn State had to correct myself there. So yes, there will be a lot of empty seats. The nice thing is, though, this is a little bit more, I'll say, more attendable, I guess, to make up a word, of a game this time around. A lot of these games here, especially over the last couple of years, have been like these mid-afternoon games. I think like 2 years ago, it was like a 12 or a 1 o'clock start on a Tuesday. That's hard for a lot of people to do, just in general. This time, it's more of a general or a true kind of evening or night game at PNC Park.
And at greater, wider nationwide impact, you've got your second nationally broadcast game of the year, too. Yes. ESPN2 broadcast. Didn't go great the first time around at Oklahoma, so looking to right that ship a little bit. But yeah, national exposure for the Mountaineers on a great stage, where some people say it's the nicest ballpark in all of Major League Baseball. I mean, it's just a crazy luxury. It's a cool event and a cool rivalry to tie it into.
I was going to pipe in and say second best because I'm a biased Orioles fan, then I remembered.
I said some people.
And then I remembered that you as a Cubs fan also own one of the, not own, but you claim a fandom to one of the best ballparks in America as well, one of the most historic.
You either are a PNC Park, Camden Yards, Oracle Park fan, or you are a Wrigley Field, Fenway Park, Yankee Stadium fan. There's no in between.
That's fair.
Those are the two divides.
Yeah, that's a really good point. By the way, Yankee Stadium, just not worth it.
Well, not to get into
that conversation because this is not the podcast for it, but Yankee Stadium, not worth it, and at me. I don't really care. But 7 o'clock first pitch there on ESPN2 Tuesday night between West Virginia and Pitt. Should be a great environment. The expectation is for much of the Golden Blue Nation crew to be up there, so we'll be providing you coverage from that game as well, as West Virginia looks to move to 6-0 in that ballpark and hopefully get another win in Randy Mazey's final game at PNC Park, something that he will be asked about definitely after the game, no matter what.
Quick pitching prediction from you, one sentence.
Well, if he didn't appear today, and maybe this could be a bullpen of sorts, I was going to say Gavin Van Kempen. Do we see Switalski maybe? He threw on Friday. I think that would probably be my guess, is Switalski, a Pennsylvania kid. Randy has done that in the past of throwing Pennsylvania kids like an Aiden Major at the PNC Park game, at least to start off. So I think Switalski, I guess, is my official guess.
That's my gut reaction too, but now I think about it, that's over four innings pitched on Friday and four days rests, somewhere in between the two. So maybe that'll scratch out.
He's a young kid, he can wipe it off.
Right, yeah, starting experience. Yeah, I'll say either Tyler Switalski or Gavin Van Kempen going, because Van Kempen only threw an inning today. But we'll see. This is just the thing to watch every week. We're glued to our computers for those expected starters, because whether it be Tuesday or Sunday or, and this week, Friday, something new every week.
I mean, it is college baseball pretty much almost nationwide. Almost every program is searching throughout the entire season of who that fourth starter is going to be for the majority of the year. And that is one thing that, for better or worse, Randy has been consistent about throughout his tenure here, is just keeping everyone involved on their toes when it comes to that midweek starter, that fourth starting role. And sometimes that creeps up into the third starter as well. But West Virginia, it seems like, has a handle on the 1-2-3 starters for this season. Any final thoughts as we wrap up here, Kevin, from the ballpark?
No, that's all you can ask for, though. Three starters to be defined. I mean, not every team has that luxury. So definitely something to hang your hat on.
All right, so West Virginia will be playing in the Backyard Brawl Part 2 this season at PNC Park on Tuesday. That's a 7 o'clock first pitch. ESPN2 if you can't make it out to the ballpark, but definitely if you haven't been there yet, make a trip out to PNC Park on Tuesday. After that, West Virginia hits the road to face Cincinnati next weekend. weekend and then is home for a couple of games after that. But that's going to do it for us here at the ballpark. West Virginia sweeping the Baylor Bears 13-4 on Sunday. Make sure to head over to goldenbluenation.com for all of your baseball and football coverage needs as well over the last couple of days. A ton of great content on the website there from baseball this weekend series and the spring game on Saturday for the WVU football team. That was by and large a success, it seems like. And also you had a couple of legends back and Don Nealon and Pat White and Pat McAfee, who we got to speak to as well. So definitely check all of those things out, goldenbluenation.com and the always free Gold and Blue Nation app. And make sure to subscribe to the Golden Blue Nation podcast, because that too is free, just like Mountaineers. For Kevin Redfern, I'm Ryan Decker. This has been the Golden Blue Nation podcast.